Hello, everyone.
Hey, guys,
what's going on here? Why are we all here?
Guys, I think there's a universal incursion happening. All of our worlds are colliding because we all tried to cover the exact same thing at the exact same time.
I have no prior information for this, but I think the only way to get out of it is to work together.
Yeah, you know, like Crisis on Infinite Earths and all that.
That seems fake, but I think if we all do it right, we can be back on our normal shows next week. So is this some kind of alliance? What do we call this?
Yo, if we are all like coming together, then we totally should do an alliance. How about like Hall of Pods? Now that sounds like cheesy. No, you know what? I commit to it. Hall of Pods.
Hall of Pods it is. And in that case, welcome to the Hall of Pods. So what is the Hall of Pods? I'm so glad you asked. The Hall of Pods is a brand new podcast alliance that will include the SJW Comic Book Club, True Believers, a comic book podcast, Cape Corner, and the Fandom Optimists. You can follow this brand new podcast alliance at Hall of Pods on Twitter, and we have a link tree. The link is in the description. We decided to do a big celebratory roundtable super discussion of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, a crossover episode, if you will, and let's get right into it. So welcome to the Fandom Optimists segment of the show. I'm Jordan, and I host the Fandom Optimists, a show where we love content, and we love when it brings us together, and I am joined by Andrew from the True Believers comic book podcast, and Veronica from the SJW Comic Book Club.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Hey.
Awesome.
Good. It's a nice day, you know, just chilling.
So let's start with a simple, did you like Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness?
Veronica, you can go first. You have this.
I've just got to throw it all out there before anyone else. Okay. I actually really enjoyed watching it. As a literary-minded person and a podcast host, I then had a lot of things to say about it after. But the experience of sitting there and watching it, I actually was super into it the whole time.
Okay. I agree with you on that. I think it was really good. The end was kind of iffy, but I think it was good. Some of the development of the characters I wasn't a fan of, but overall, I do think this was an enjoyable movie.
Okay, and you all know me by now. I unapologetically love this movie and pretty much everything in it. So did you guys have I guess let's start with what were your favorite things about this movie? Did you have a favorite sequence or a joke or anything in particular that really stood out?
Oh man, I think the safe answer is whenever she fights the Illuminati, because that was just like the top tier part of the movie for me. Like, it didn't get better than that. That's when it peaked, you know.
That was a brutality level that I was not expecting from the MCU, and I was so happy with it.
Me too. I think we saw it opening night, me and my co-host, and it was just, everyone gasped in the movie theater at that point. It was intense.
I saw some small children walking into the theater. And I was like, oh no, you picked the wrong one to bring your 8-year-old to. I don't think you should do that.
Yes. I know, it was a heavy, and it was kind of scary at some points, which I enjoy. I love horror movies, but kind of not for like the 8-year-old kids, you know?
Oh, no, definitely not. Veronica, what would you say your favorite part of this movie was?
My favorite part is kind of tangential to that. It's just like all the fight sequences. I've said this many times, I think on our podcast as well. Back when the first Suicide Squad came out, I went into it with very low expectations. All I wanted was cool choreographed fight scenes that showed the characters and their fight styles. And I didn't get it for Suicide Squad. I got it here. Yeah. It had awesome music. Danny Elfman, obviously, in all those cool fight scenes. And they were really, really like characterizing for the characters in the fight scenes. And so I was just like sitting back and enjoying it.
He's got a cool leitmotif in there for America Chavez. I actually listened to the soundtrack before the movie came out, which I have a tendency to do. And I was like, I kept hearing this recurring melody. And I kept thinking, oh, that must be Wanda's theme because this movie is Doctor Strange and Wanda. And then when I actually saw the movie, it's like, oh, it wasn't Wanda. It's America Chavez's leitmotif. That's pretty cool. I really like what Danny Elfman has done here. I have one very mild complaint about Danny Elfman in this movie, which is that he kind of underused the original Michael Giacchino Doctor Strange leitmotif.
Oh.
I caught it in there a couple times. He uses it 3 or 4 times throughout the soundtrack. But I don't know, when it's played with a sitar in the original movie and it's all over the place, I kind of missed it a little bit. But Danny Elfman's incredible. So I'm not all that cut up about it. Speaking of music, I wanted to say my favorite scene in this movie, which is the music fight.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
The music fight in this movie is one of the most creative things I've ever seen. I was blown away by it.
I looked over at Christian in the movie and I was like, this is like peak Doctor Strange. Like, this is feels like it's straight from the comic books. I loved that fight so much.
It also felt like something out of Fantasia, yes. Which made it really cool.
Honestly, that segment was so like thematic to the movie and like the multiverse and the magic and stuff that it almost like brings down the rest of the movie, in my opinion. Like, that part was such a standout to me.
Fair enough.
I agree. I think that part, well, at least it was at the end, right? So that way it kind of goes downhill for the last 20 minutes. But no, I agree. So, that fight was so good.
See, I'm surprised to hear that everyone thinks, oh, and then it went downhill at the end. I'm like, but right after this, he possessed his dead body and made a cape out of demons. How could anyone not like this?
It was fun. I thought it was just kind of a weird tone shift. Like, I don't want to get negative in this part about how we enjoyed it, but like, yeah.
I was going to say the same thing.
I wish
it
was all like that.
I can see how it's a bit of a tonal shift from the beginning to the end, because it does feel like the beginning of this movie is pretty standard MCU. They've got all the quips going. You've got, you know, Doctor Strange and America Chavez talking about Spider-Man and his powers, which was genuinely hilarious. If you had told me there's a joke about do webs come out of his butt, I'd have been like, oh, well, that's probably mildly amusing. But for some reason, Cumberbatch's delivery of it, where he just goes, no, I don't know. God, I hope not. Just the way he said it was perfect. Perfect level of throwaway.
Yes.
But I get that. That was very MCU quippy. And then it turns into a quasi-horror movie.
Yeah. I guess that's more of like where the Sam Raimi of it shines through, with the music fight and the possessing his own corpse and all that flavor. Like, that really felt like Sam Raimi to me.
Yeah.
And less MCU.
Having a zombie Doctor Strange give a cheesy emotional speech and then wink into the camera.
That was just horrifying.
He somehow
That's the scariest
blended,
part.
We managed to blend Evil Dead Raimi with Spider-Man 3, not Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man 2 or maybe Spider-Man 3 Raimi with this just ridiculous cheesy camp.
Speaking of him looking into the camera, in a little bit of a topic jump, did you notice when Wanda looked into the camera?
Yes.
And I felt, along with her brutal fight, that really helped to characterize Wanda throughout, like that kind of creeping horror.
Yeah, she becomes a horror movie monster.
And it's amazing.
It's incredible. The sequence where she's like stepped on a bunch of broken glass. She's limping and grunting down a hallway and she's covered in shadow with the glowing red eyes. It's like, this is legitimately frightening. I feel bad for any small children in this room.
That's the part that I don't think that I particularly liked, was Wanda becoming a horror movie monster. I know I just said I love the horror aspect, but Wanda from the comic books isn't the horror monster. So to me, I thought it was just a weird portrayal of the character in the movies.
That makes a lot of sense.
I think if it was any other character that was horrifying like this, I would have been really into it, but it just kind of was lacking a little bit for me because that's not the Wanda I wanted to see. You know what I mean?
There.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I have heard a lot of people complaining that Wanda's villain turn doesn't feel earned. And I mean, I guess I can agree that it got very bad very fast relative to what I was expecting. But yeah. She already has the Darkhold at the end of WandaVision, and we know the Darkhold is bad, especially if you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'll agree, but I also think the Darkhold was just a weird way to bring Wanda's character in the MCU, because you could tell they wanted to make her a villain ever since WandaVision, but they worked all the way up through phase one just to make her the hero, just to switch that all of a sudden and make her the villain now in phase, what are we in, phase four? I don't know what the phases are, but
yeah, it's phase four, but I don't think the phases have any meaning anymore.
Yeah, whatever. It was up until Endgame she was the hero, now all of a sudden she's the villain, and it's just, I don't understand why they decided to switch her character like this, but to me it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, I can see that. I always stick with, you know, it's kind of the premise of my whole thing is that even if I have a problem with something, I'm going to figure out a way to just be like, yeah, it's fine because it's the Darkhold. So whatever, because I don't really care about consistent writing. I just want cool shit.
I tend to be a creator apologist a lot of times.
Gosh, what other just awesome fun things are there to talk about in this movie? I love about this that Doctor Strange keeps using like random magic in ways that we've never seen before and then never pop up again. Like in the first Doctor Strange movie, it was, okay, he learns how to make a shield and he learns how to like throw a magic rope and he eventually learns how to go into the mirror dimension. And those are pretty much the three things you really see him do a lot, mm-hmm. other than the time stone. And then go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say he put her in the mirror dimension in this one, but...
Yeah, but in this, it's like there's a car flying at some woman, and I was like, oh, okay, so he makes a shield. But he opens a portal, and a giant fish monster jumps out and eats the car and falls into another portal. And that was the moment. I was floored. I was like, okay, this is nuts. This is peak Doctor Strange insanity.
That's what you got to do with a hero who has magic, I feel like. If you made a superhero in a comic book and their power is sorcery, you can't just be like, oh, he has energy blasts or whatever, does the same thing every time. You got to be creative with it. Otherwise, it's just, you know, another superpower.
I agree with that. Actually, that was one of the problems I had with Wanda at the beginning. You know, when she's trying to get into Kamar-Taj and all she does is like throw magic bolts around. I was like, okay, yeah, come good on. Point. But then she starts getting like more reality warping. And I was like, okay, Wanda, I see you. Like fucked up Black Bolt's mouth. You know, you did all this crazy shit. So it got better for me.
That was chilling. Because I'd already been like, okay, Wanda's creepy. She's like crawling out of a gong like the girl from The Ring. She's yes. doing all this insane, creepy stuff. But then she gets to the Illuminati and she has her, is their mother still alive?
And she says, my God.
Good. That there will be someone left to raise them.
That line like fucked me up a little bit.
Okay, we're all done. I was scared for my own safety. Yeah, watching Wanda in the theater.
That really kicked it off.
It did. That line like chilled me a little bit. I was like, yeah, I would have just walked away. Like, I don't want to be in the room anymore with Wanda. I'm done. She's threatening my kids now. I don't want to be here.
I've seen a lot of people be upset about Reed giving away that Black Bolt specifically needs his mouth to use his powers.
Yeah,
it's like, you didn't have to tell her that he needs his mouth. I mean, granted, he had no way of knowing that she can erase his mouth. That's a very unexpected thing. But a meme that I saw that was like a How It Should Have Ended type thing said, you know, shows Wanda threaten Reed, you know, good, there'd still be someone around to raise them. And then he says, you know what, Wanda? It's okay, calm down. Black Bolt here can tell you where your kids are. Black Bolt, tell her. I thought that was pretty funny.
Cuts to credits. Criticism on that, though, like, she can read minds, you know. She could have known. It's not like it's a secret.
That's
she
also
fucked
true.
Up Xavier. Like,
that's true.
That's a very good point that I had not actually thought of.
She's People supposed
like
to be like
little nitpicky things about stuff and call it plot holes.
She's pretty much almost omnipotent in this movie. I don't think that they were worried about him talking to her. You know, she could have done whatever she wanted.
Yeah, I don't think, I think even if he had gotten to use his Black Bolt powers, I don't think it would have helped. We saw her like erode Captain Marvel's powers and then kill her. I don't think Black Bolt would have done any good.
Speaking of Black Bolt, how long is this sequence even? Like, it's not really that much of the movie. I saw it with my sister and my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law texted me after the movie and he was like, who was that guy? That Black Bolt guy.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. I imagine a lot of people didn't know who that is. I had heard a rumor that he might be in it. So I went back and rewatched the Inhumans TV series, which is, oh Lord. I tried the first time that came out and I made it 12 minutes into the first episode and gave up, which is the first time I've ever given up on anything featuring superheroes. But I think I might've just been in a bad mood because I went back I think my fandom optimism has grown in the last 4 or 5 years is more likely, because I went back and I was like, yeah, it's fine. And he's great. Anson Mount as the Black Bolt. His performance is awesome in Humans. I imagine it's very difficult to convey a whole lot with a character who's not allowed to speak.
Right. Well, apparently he was enticing enough just in this cameo that someone who isn't that into comics was like, I'm curious about this character and I want to know more.
Yeah, I'm so happy they brought him back. I think he might be... Okay, it's tough. I'll ask you guys first. Who's your favorite cameo appearance in this? And why?
Oh, or do you have one? Yeah, no, mine was definitely Clea at the end. Charlize Theron.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. I've always been saying that she needs to be in the MCU. I've been saying it for years. And then she shows up as one of my favorite characters in the comics. So I was like, this is perfect.
Oh, that's great. So you love it because of the actor and the character.
Yeah, it's the perfect role for her.
That's awesome.
So,
this is probably not what you were asking for, but my favorite cameo was Bruce Campbell.
That is fair enough. I really loved his appearance. I was so happy. I was like, hey, it's Bruce.
Yes, I was trying to geek out at the people I saw the movie with, and they were like, what are you talking about? Who's Bruce Campbell? What's the Evil Dead? I was like,
oh, that's heartbreaking.
How can you do this to me?
I love that they did the possessed hand. They straight up did a callback on top of the cameo.
Yeah. Brilliant. I think Christian had to tell me about that. I didn't understand that one, so she had to tell me.
I also love that the post-credit stinger for that joke, it's pissed off so many people. that always amuses the hell out of me when something just really pisses everyone off for being pretty benign. Because everyone's like, I waited through 8 minutes of credits just to watch Bruce Campbell tell me it's over. But I loved it for the same reason that I loved the post-credit scene of Homecoming. Because it makes fun of you for being a Marvel fan. And I love when that happens. They're like, yeah, we know these idiots are going to wait through the entire credits. So let's just troll them.
You might as well at that point. Got to have some fun with it. People are always expecting a lot more. So yeah, I think it's hilarious.
I do think that the Captain America Spider-Man Homecoming post-credit did it funnier. But that might just because I really love Captain America and I'm predisposed to overly love anything that he appears in. Oh, gosh. What was I thinking from there? Did y'all's audience have any particular big cheer moments or...
Mostly they were excited about all the cameo intros. Each one, they were all like, and then talk, talk, talk. And all the gruesome deaths of the cameo.
Oh, God, yeah.
Shortly thereafter.
Our biggest moment either was when Christian said some out-of-pocket shit whenever she saw Benedict Cumberbatch's naked chest, or... or when Xavier rolled onto screen, everybody like lost their mind at that point.
Yes.
You know, I expected Xavier to be the big audience pop, but for my theater, it was John Krasinski.
Yeah.
That got the big pop.
Everyone knows John Krasinski is excited to
see him. Oh my God, he's here. It's him. They actually did the thing. Everyone was super excited about that.
Well, I didn't watch any of the trailers, but wasn't Xavier in the trailers? Like they hinted at it or something, right?
Yeah, and I think that's why it was a less extreme reaction. I think if they hadn't put him in the trailer, that would have been tears and tears when he showed up.
Yeah, that's I hadn't seen any trailers, so I like grabbed my sister's sleeve and I was like,
oh, lucky you.
I was not spoiled on anything in this movie. It was great.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm very good at avoiding spoilers for the most part, but if you put something in a trailer that is a big deal, I'm going to see it because I watch all the trailers. Maybe I should stop watching trailers.
Probably. I usually don't even care about spoilers, at least story spoilers, but when you can have an exciting theater moment of like a surprise cameo or whatever, that's a really fun feeling.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. That was a good opportunity though to play like the 90s X-Men song while he's rolling on. And awesome. They just completely missed that. And they kind of gave it away.
Because no, they did.
The trailer. Did they?
They played the, they played the 90s.
Oh, they did.
It was kind of quiet. So if your audience was excited, you probably missed it.
Oh, yeah. No, they were screaming. So okay, that makes more sense.
That's why.
I feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. They also played a very interesting kind of almost minor key version of Alan Silvestri's Captain America theme when Captain Carter appears, which was my favorite cameo appearance just because I really like Peggy. And I have a deep, profoundly emotional connection to anything related to the Captain America brand.
Aww.
So seeing her, I was like, oh, yay. And then she died. I was so upset.
She lasted a while.
She did. I was very proud of her. I'm just glad that it's probably not the same one from What If. I'm glad that we don't actually know any of these. I was like, oh, thank God it's not the Fox. Patrick Stewart. Thank God it's not the What If Captain Carter. That made me kind of relieved. Oh, like they're still out there. They're still fine. It's okay.
That's what multiverses can do for us story-wise.
Let me do one more thing, which is a reference to a line of dialogue that I realized where the Defender Strange at the beginning of the movie says to America Chavez in the grand calculus of the universe, your sacrifice means more than your life. And it was a cool callback to our Doctor Strange saying that about the Spider-Man villains in No Way Home. And I realized that Spider-Man is the reason that Doctor Strange was more trustworthy in this movie to America Chavez. Spider-Man softened him up because before this adventure with Spider-Man, he was just like Defender Strange. He would have been the one to make the play to kill America Chavez, but so, Spider-Man kind of showed him it's okay. You can trust people to be good.
But does he remember? I mean, he could remember it subconsciously, but does he remember that happening?
I wonder.
Maybe. What if he had a dream about it?
It's, you know, true. I mean, not to go on a Spider-Man tangent. I'm still confused about the ramifications of that, but it would be cool if we see that like Peter still had an influence on everyone that he met, even though they don't remember it.
Yeah, I think he would remember it because it seems that people remember Spider-Man and stuff that happened with Spider-Man. Like in this movie, Strange remembers that he helped Spider-Man with a multiverse thing. So I think you just forget that you know who Peter Parker is or that Peter Parker exists. But any experience you had with Spider-Man is still there as, yeah, I met Spider-Man and he was very nice and he taught me to believe in people.
That makes sense.
So in conclusion, I love this movie. And I love the MCU and all of its callbacks. I think it's time to turn this over to the next segment.
All right, and welcome to the Cape Corner segment. We are going to be focusing a little bit less on the whole extreme positivity that the Phantom Optimist did, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the comparisons of the MCU characters to their comic counterparts. So it's going to be me, your gracious host, Blue, with Jay, my usual co-host, and we're also going to be joined by Melissa and Monte from SJW Comic Book Club.
Hello.
Hey.
You are also allowed to greet people, Jay.
Hello.
I'm going to need you to step it up. Okay, so I've got four different groups / characters that I would like to touch on here. And I think I have Illuminati listed first, but you know what? We got to talk about Wanda. We got to get this out of the way. So I have my own thoughts, but I first want to hear each of you talk about, did you Did you like her portrayal? Did you dislike it? Were you ambivalent on it? What are your thoughts?
So I definitely liked it. I think that Wanda was by far the standout in this movie. And the thing that I gravitated towards the most. I liked that. So Wanda in this movie is scary.
Oh, and yeah.
She's, I like that there were two versions of her. Like you had the innocent Wanda. I mean, innocent in quotes. She did. I think she still did do the whole thing at Westview in this. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So she still did the bad thing, but like she said it right. And she's, you know, she's a hero again now, I guess. And then you had the terrifying Wanda that crawls out of mirrors and drops statues on other heroes. And I think I like that Wanda better, actually.
She turned Reed Richards into spaghetti.
Haven't we all wanted to do that? I have.
Yes. Yes. Both John Krasinski and Reed Richards, I would love this opportunity.
I thought it was funny because, like, okay, so Reed Richards knows who Wanda is, right? And, like, so the Illuminati, like, they confront her, and then Reed Richards, like, steps out in front, and it's like, Reed, you stretch. What the fuck are you going to do to Wanda Maximoff? Like,
let Captain Marvel take point. What
is going to happen here?
Yeah, definitely. And it was the most condescending shit that I've heard in one of these movies in a long time, where they were just like, we can handle your little witch. And I'm like, no, the fuck you can't. Maybe one of you can fight her, but the rest of you cannot. And it was like the idea that they're like, yeah, Black Bolt's our big gun. And I'm like, he's absolutely not. He you can maybe argue that he's got the most destructive capability, but destructive force is a far cry from being overall the best.
I really liked her first intro scene when Doctor Strange goes to like chill out with her in her orchard, and she's like, yeah, shit was kind of crazy before, but I'm over it and everything's cool. Mental health is just like easy and stuff. And and then it was like, oh, JK, everything's on fire.
Oh yeah. I've actually lost it. Yeah, I've snapped. It happened.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, so this is actually I kind of liked how quickly it was. It happened really early on. There wasn't a, oh, now she's evil. No, it was like, she's like, I was okay for 2 minutes max. And then, but it was a lie. And I was lying the whole time. And I will kill all of you.
I do want to give credit to the movie real quick, by the way, or the trailer specifically, because while the trailers definitely did show a little bit too much, they had Professor X's voice appear in one of them. And that's what gave the game away for a lot of people. But I had no indication she was going to be the villain. Like, the trailers portrayed it like she and Doctor Strange might have some ideological differences, but they were still going to work together. And like, it completely, because like, my buddy who was watching the movie with me, he doesn't watch trailers or anything. He knew nothing about this movie. And so he was like, yo, so she's the villain? I was like, no, it's fine. She's not the villain. And then like, the fight with Kamar-Taj happened, and I was like, okay, but this is like act one stuff, right? They're going to work together. And then it just kept going, and I was like, oh, she the villain.
I can appreciate Wanda losing her shit and just regardless of anything and everything, just and her motivations in some ways like felt a little weak, in that it's like you could just create more children, like try to do it again, maybe just don't like possess an entire town. Like, surely there's like other options, but I think it's clear that she's unhinged and not making rational decisions. So everything after that, when she just escalates it, I was there for it. So
yeah, it seems like the MCU's take on Wanda has largely been, what happens if the most powerful being also has severe mental health issues that aren't being addressed? And it's like, yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, it does track that she went through something traumatic, did something horrible, and then just like ran away, and then no one followed up. until Dr. Strange just casually walked in for something else. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, so you're here obviously to talk about like that time I possessed an entire town and like tortured 3,000 people for 3 weeks.
Because no one else has.
Yeah. And because no one else has. And he's like, no. Actually, I need you to do me a favor.
Yeah. At that point, I'd probably just lose it and start burning everything down too.
Honestly, tracked.
Yeah.
It was also, it was such an interesting, I really liked that conversation too, because, okay, so in this version of Wanda, in the MCU version, no one's actually done anything bad to Wanda. Like, none of the other heroes have done anything to her. No one has personally wronged her. Like, they have the whole conversation where she's like, I have these powers that I never asked for. And I was like, well, I mean, you did volunteer to get experimented on by Nazis so that you could get powers. So, I mean, you kind of did ask for them. Maybe you didn't expect them to be so powerful, but like you did ask for powers. Like that was why you became a Nazi in the first place. And then like the whole thing where Dr. Strange was like, your kids aren't real. You created them out of magic. And Elizabeth Olsen does such a great job of giving the most deranged, but also like you kind of agree with her, where she's like, that's what every mother does. And the little twitch on her lips and like the way her eyes are kind of darting around. Oh my God, she did such a good job. I know there's been criticism of Elizabeth Olsen and I don't want to like erase or ignore that, but she fucking ate this role up.
Elizabeth Olsen was channeling Mary Kate and Ashley for this role. Is that bad to say?
That's not nice.
Jay, I want to give you a chance to say your thoughts on her before I say mine.
I absolutely loved the fact that she was the villain in this. I'm a sucker for when heroes fall off the deep end and just lose their shit.
Yeah. And they really did let her go all the way too.
Oh yeah, straight up mass murder, terrorizing innocent people. Those poor kids, like, oh, I felt so bad for them when they were like hiding behind the like staircase banister and everything. It was an emotionally wrenching movie for sure. Now, for me, I've seen a lot of people get very angry about her portrayal, and specifically, they're like, oh, they're treating her, you know, like a villain, and she wasn't a villain in comics. I'm here to tell you, yes, she was. She most definitely was. She was a villain longer than like Rogue was a villain. She was a villain longer than a lot of villains who turn heroes. Like she, like you, and some of her most prolific stories have been about her doing irrevocably fucked up shit with her reality warping. So, I mean, I've been waiting for some House of M type crazy bullshit ever since. Okay, I don't know if you guys know this. In WandaVision, episode one, when she's setting up the dinner scene for Vision's boss, she like they, you know how they do like the old timey special effects where there's clearly wires that are like moving things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a wine bottle that's pouring wine into the glasses, and the wine bottle has a French name on the label, and it translates to House of M or House of Misery.
Well, I love that.
Yeah. So I was like, I've been waiting for it. They were like, they teased that in there for us. So this was not exactly that, but it definitely was like some reality warping, multiverse hopping, absolute insanity, like complete unhinged. And it did have to deal with the loss of her children. So it was clearly at least partially inspired.
So like, kind of like you said, how Wanda's been the villain. One of the things that has bothered me ever since, I would say ever since Avengers versus X-Men with Wanda, is that depending on who's writing her, they go back and forth between, does she need to be contrite about the decimation in House of M? Does she need to be unapologetic about it? Does she need, you know, where, and she continuously moves back and forth between like how much of an anti-hero she is and how much she needs to apologize. And I like that in the MCU, they have definitively said, She's done things that she can't apologize for, and now she's dead. So
I refuse to accept that she's dead unless we see a body.
Also fair. Anything, unless if you see the body, they're not dead.
Yeah.
But honestly, this movie has taught us, but even if you see the body.
Well, you know what? Fair. That's also fair.
True.
I do want to move on real quick with the time we have. Let's talk a little bit about America and the Illuminati. I guess, well, oh, wow. I guess taken out of context, that line can mean something very different. let's talk about America Chavez and the Marvel Universe's Illuminati. Okay, so to start, I want to just say a quick couple things about the Illuminati because they've already been touched on. I really like that Professor X's chair was the fucking golden hover chair from the X-Men cartoon. I really appreciated that. I will say I'm impressed that they got 4 out of the 6 members of the comic book Illuminati in there. It was obvious that they had to replace Iron Man with somebody. Well, they didn't have to. I guess some people were really expecting a Tom Cruise Iron Man in this movie. Mm-hmm. And then there were people that were mad that didn't happen. And I'm like, somebody just made that up. And you assumed that it would happen. I need nerds to stop thinking of things and then getting mad when it doesn't happen just because you were like, but what if this happened? What if it doesn't?
Yeah, what if it didn't?
Yeah, that is not a fault on the movie just because you imagined something you would have liked. Fucking, it just infuriates me. Anyway.
They're going to go make their own movie.
Yeah, you do that.
Make your own movie with Tom Cruise as Iron Man.
Yeah,
do it.
Good luck with that, man. So, like, it was fine that, like, they replaced him with Captain Marvel. Which, by the way, I thought it was really cool that they made reference to the fact that Maria Rambeau was also Captain Marvel. In fact, she was Captain Marvel before Carol was.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I appreciated that. But, I did think it was weird, like, why not do Namor? Like, is there a rights issue there? Because, like, I love Captain Carter, and I still like the Captain Marvel thing, but, like, why didn't they do Namor? At that point, if you've got Professor X and you've got Black Bolt and all this shit, like, fuck it. Just be like, here's Namor, he's a fish man.
Yeah.
So my thinking on it was that they probably didn't want to introduce too many, like, completely new characters. And then also it would be kind of difficult to, like, well, I don't know. Comic book fans would immediately recognize Namor. He is very, like, identifiable.
I feel like a casual viewer, if they're going to recognize Captain Carter, then they're already in deep enough to be like, oh yeah, Namor. All right, America. I didn't actually know that her powers in the comics involved multiversal travel, because I had only seen bits and pieces of her from, like Marvel video games, right? So I knew that she flies with a red, white, and blue trail behind her, which I'm sorely disappointed that we didn't see that. And I knew that she punched and big stars came out of her punches. The whole, like, her traveling through the multiverse thing caught me off guard. But apparently that's canon.
It's like her origin story. Yeah. I have a soft spot in my heart for America Chavez. And while I think the actor did a fabulous job, I also was just a little bit disappointed at her lack of agency and also just, like, her role. It was very passive. And I concede that, like, she's not the main character. It's about Wanda and it's about Doctor Strange. It just felt a little bit like, if you're gonna use her at the end, she's such a powerful and wonderful character that I found that this is, like, almost like America Chavez before she's the America Chavez in the comics, if that makes sense. In the comics, she's very in your face. She's very strongly opinionated. She doesn't hold back. She's very, you know, forceful.
She would never just be the damsel in distress.
Yeah. And so it was very, I was a little bit like, oh, is this, like, she's still, I don't know. It was.
I do feel like there's an argument to be made that she had just been spending the past X amount of years of her life constantly on the run, constantly panicking, constantly stressing and doubting her own power. And it took someone to believe in her and to be like, no, your power is awesome and you can control it. You got to believe in yourself. And then that can be the impetus for her standing up for herself, for her being more in your face, for her not taking shit from people going forward. Because it again kind of comes down to the mental health thing for me of like, if you've convinced yourself into believing that what you have is a curse, it's very hard for you to stand up for yourself. And with the sort of burden of that mindset removed, I feel like going forward, hopefully she can be a much stronger character. So like, are we all tired of seeing like origin stories of characters before they're the characters that we like? Yes. But at the same time, I also feel like it's better to have at least some kind of starting point. And I would much rather her starting point be in someone else's movie so that if she has a first show or movie or whatever as a main character, she can go right in rather than her first main character appearance being devoted to becoming that.
That's actually how it worked in the comic. She was a side character for a very, very, very long time. And it wasn't until like 5 years ago that she finally had her first solo story. And I think there's only two story arcs. I might be incorrect, but it like there's not that much in the comics, I think, where she's the main character.
With America being a newer character and one that audiences aren't very acquainted with, I kind of understand. I understand why they did things the way that they did, but at the same time, it's like I feel like because it was a choice, because she's not a real person, she's a character that's being created and written. Like the decision to rob her of her agency was a decision that a writing room made. And I don't really think that it justifies making that decision, because you can definitely show character. America Chavez in the comics, she's never a damsel in distress. She's never what she was in the movie, but she has massive character growth throughout her arcs, dealing specifically with like her trauma and the way that she responds to her trauma, which is, you know, creating this tough outer shell. And I think that that would have been a much better. I am generally okay with the changes that the MCU has made to characters. Like I said, I love the changes that they made to Wanda and other ones also. But this, to me, was kind of a misstep just because, again, it's a decision to rob a character of their agency.
I can understand that.
And kind of make them just along for the ride for most of their introduction. And I think that's not, I don't think that there's many characters who are superheroes in the MCU where that's been done to them, where they've just been kind of like along for the ride for their introductory movie or show or whatever.
Yeah. Last thing I want to touch on as we wrap this up is that, are you guys excited about the potential of, it seems like we might be forming a Young Avengers?
Yes, I am very excited about that.
That would be adorable. I love it. I want it.
I'm going to shit my pants when I see adult Billy Maximoff on screen throwing magic and lightning bolts around. I'm literally going to shit my pants.
I saw people be like getting mad that Haley Steinfeld is like the only adult of the Young Avengers so far. And they were like, oh, of course, the one that's not gay. And it's like, OK, that's a completely separate argument. But then somebody was like, we should just age up Billy and Tommy. And I was like, well, hold on. I really like the actors that they have for Billy and Tommy. And here's a fact about movies. They take a long time to make. And here's another fact about humans. They age very quickly when they're young. So you can just like wait. They will get older.
Yeah, so, I'm hoping that they keep the actors.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen the one that plays Billy. I'm sorry, I forgot his name, but his Twitter is like so wholesome. Uh-huh. Like he posted a picture of himself, the actor playing Tommy, Elizabeth Olsen, and Sam Raimi, all just like they're like really excited. And then like there was another picture with him and Tommy's actor and America's actor. I don't know, man. I'm proud that they got nice young actors, as far as I'm aware. I mean, like, you know, whatever. And I want them to continue having their opportunity. All right. I think that's about going to wrap this segment up. Do you guys have any closing thoughts?
My closing thought really was honestly just the fact that America actually had the Pride pin the entire movie. I thought that was awesome.
It was very nice. All right. Guys, thank you so much for joining this ridiculous discussion with me. I really do appreciate it. It was lovely having you.
Absolutely.
And yeah, no problem. Now we'll transition to the next segment.
Hey guys, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. This is True Believers. We have Jordan from Fandom Optimist and Jake from Cape Corner this week with us.
Yeah, it's me and Jordan again. This time, what did we already talk about before? What do we say now?
Well, see, I need to say that I thought of a joke while Blue was talking about America and the Illuminati. And it was that there's a moment in the movie where after all the big action, Rachel McAdams' character asks, is America okay? And I really wanted Doctor Strange to go, well, no, there's actually so many problems going. Oh, you meant Chavez. Yeah, she's fine.
Oh, man, that would have been a good one, but too political, I think, unfortunately. I don't know. We've already talked about the cameos. So what do you think are like, what are your plans and hopes for the future of the MCU?
Ooh, good question. So I've heard, I'm not one of the more comic book oriented of the podcasts, but I've heard tell of a lot of people speculating that a Secret Wars type thing might be in the works because of the word incursions apparently has set off a lot of red flags to people. And that would be pretty cool. I don't know much about Secret Wars, but it sounds awesome.
I never read like the actual storyline of Secret Wars, but I read some of the what are they called? Like the offhand stories, you know, like ones that don't actually pertain to the plot line. And those ones are fun enough, but I don't know too much about the plot either, but I have seen that it's more of just a Fantastic Four versus Doctor Doom type of situation. So I was like, do I really care about that? I don't know.
Oh, I wouldn't mind a Secret Wars movie that focuses around the original Fox Fantastic Four versus their Doctor Doom. That brings in the MCU. I'd be fine with that.
I'll agree with you.
Cosmic insanity.
What about you, Jay? What are your thoughts, plans, hopes, not hopes?
Well, I think the Secret Wars would be awesome. I don't know much about that either, but I know bits and pieces. Like there's this one segment where the reason Venom's so crazy is because Deadpool wore him in Secret Wars. And I thought that was really cool. Or like Blue was talking earlier, the hopes of Young Avengers, that would be awesome. I had like their three first comic books and it was amazing.
Young Avengers. I think they're definitely coming in for a Young Avengers soon. Right, Christian?
Why would you ask me that?
Because you're a Young Avengers fan. We all know that.
Yeah, but I don't go see these movies. I don't think that they're good, and I don't think that they have the background necessary to support the Young Avengers in the MCU. So much stuff happens before Young Avengers, and the MCU version of all of that stuff has been so disappointingly lackluster that it really couldn't support it. It would be a waste of everybody's time, honestly.
See, that's always going to be really fun when you bring the most optimistic out of the 8 podcast hosts onto the show with the least optimistic toward the MCU.
It's not even just the MCU. Like I think they're formulaic and bad. But honestly, we're in the middle of exam season. I don't like anything right now.
Fair enough.
I turned on Thomas the Tank Engine last night to feel joy. It didn't even work. So honestly. The most interesting thing that they've done towards the MCU was in the Loki show, which we made 2 episodes about how we didn't like it. And they started out with the whole Kang thing, and they actually repeated the same technique that they used in the Loki show in this movie, like with the character of Sylvie, who actually does make an appearance. I think Oh God, what stupid ass event was that? Yeah, there's two Sylvies in Marvel, and they combined two of them anyway. One of them was with the Young Avengers. It really doesn't matter. But then she has like a big role in Loki show, and she's like going through. She spends her whole life traveling the multiverse, and she's going through different moments in time, and she's like, I don't know how to use my magic. I'm so adrift. I just need one good inspirational speech to help me. And the same thing happens with America Chavez. And I was like, okay, that was whack. Like it was whack the first time. And I feel like they wanted me to feel emotional moments at a lot of points during these movies that I just didn't feel, because I feel nothing for Wanda Maximoff in comic books. I don't like her. But it's not for the reason that a lot of people don't. It's because I'm robophobic. Violently so. I don't think that people should have sexual or romantic relationships with robots. And I don't like Vision because he's a robot. And I don't like her because she has sex with robots. She's nasty. So I already thought she was a pervert. And then I was like, well, damn, now you're not ending mutants. So you're a pervert and a genocider. And then I watched Age of Ultron, and me and my older brother, and I that was the only thing we took from that movie. We were like, this movie was garbage. Wait, hold on. Did she say she was a Nazi? And they said it again in WandaVision. And I was like, hold on, wait. Because they did definitely say she was like a Nazi volunteer. They said that. Okay. And I was like, oh, am I supposed to feel bad for you? Save those Nazi tears, not for me. I don't care. And then the thing is, my main beef with this movie is they told their op the plan two times. Because Doctor Strange, how is it that you get this girl falls into your lap? Not only do you walk up to who you unknowingly, you know, now that's your chief op, you told her exactly where this woman is. Well, not woman, this little girl is. This is a child. You didn't told her. She's like, he's like, yeah, we're in Carmitage. He said it like at least two or three times. Like, I was like, oh, so she's like, bring America here. Ma'am. So now you've revealed yourself. She's like, oh, you never told me your name. Okay. Yeah. All right. And then Reed Richards. First of all, Reed, I already don't like you just because I don't trust men with the name Reed. It's a weird prejudice, I know, but it's a red flag to me. So I was like, okay, so you tell your op the whole plan. I don't care if y'all are being condescending. I don't care that y'all don't know who she is. Real G's move in silence like lasagna, Reed. You know who never would have did me like this? My bitch, Sue. Sue would have understood it's all fights, all hands, immediately.
The second she threatened her kids too, Sue would have been like, no, not today.
She would have looked back and been like, Maria, let's handle this. And you know what? Charles, this is the third time I don't watch Charles die. I don't even like Charles Xavier at all. That bald headed bitch, go right to hell. But I love Patrick Stewart. So I don't like Patrick Stewart in either of his like two biggest roles because I don't fuck with Picard either. But like, I've watched you die a third time now, Charles. What the hell? And I was like, where is Jean? Where is Jean? Where are the X-Men? To me, my X-Men, because you know they believe in this gang of shit. So I was like, why are you unprotected, sir? Because at the end of the day.
So am I to take it that you are happy that Wanda is dead?
Yeah. I didn't care either way. Like, she could be there, she could be gone. It was no skin off my back, regardless. I was like, oh, she's dead.
So here's a fun thought. Is it going to be easy for the Wanda of that world to explain that that wasn't her that murdered all those people?
And that was another thing. First of all, yes, no. I assume the Illuminati has security cameras, but that universe is Wanda. She wasn't doing enough for me. I was like, where is Lil Wanda from the memes? I was like, come on, sis. This woman, she came into your body. She had your children in fear. And you're like, know that they'll be loved. Girl, if you don't, W, hit her with the people's elbow. I was pissed. Ma'am.
See, I'm rather concerned for the safety of that Wanda, because that's a hard story to sell, that I was possessed by a different me. It was me, but it was a different world.
And Vera Mordo is still alive, so.
Yeah, but I guess that's true. I guess he'll be able to explain it. But the question is, can he explain it before the now very angry entire society of Inhumans, mutants, and the rest of the Fantastic Four decide to come after Wanda?
No, probably not.
That is a very developed Marvel universe. That universe has everything.
If you tried to tell me that some possessed witch killed the rest of your crew, I'm not going to be, I won't believe you. Like, I just won't. That doesn't add up, you know? Because nobody knows about the Darkhold except the Illuminati, so that one is about to get beat the fuck up.
Yeah, I can tell you that. Ashanti.
Yeah, because we know that that universe has Avengers of some sort, because they call Captain Carter the first Avenger. She's not a standalone character. And then we know they've got the rest of the Fantastic Four. We know they've got X-Men, I assume. And there must be a city of Inhumans that just lost their king. Yeah, oh boy. No,
they're all coming. I never even thought about that. I was like, you know, she's Wanda. She can handle it. But she doesn't have the Darkhold. She's not like the developed Wanda, the evil Wanda or whatever.
Yeah, and there comes a point where it's like, this is too many people. You can't handle this.
You know, that's not funny, but it is a little funny. She didn't do anything wrong, but also she could have done something. Like Christian was saying, whenever she was in her house, and you're touching on my kids again.
I thought that Wanda was going to kill our Wanda. She thought it was going to be like, you have fucked everything up and you're done.
I get that she got the drop on you one time, but how does this, she punched, like, a hole came into reality. This woman is terrible. I get that she blessed you one time. Maybe you were coming down the stairs. Okay. But she's scaring your children, ma'am. Snatch her wig.
She is touching her kids. She's touching their faces. Like, don't touch my kids. I don't even have kids. I don't even want kids, but what the fuck?
Exactly. Stranger danger. And like, what the hell? Honestly. Also, they established the MCU as the 616 in the movie, and they said that. And I feel like everybody was cheering. And I have a bad history of inappropriate audience behavior by accident. So Andrew keeps elbowing me because I'm telling people to shut up because they're getting excited. And I'm sitting up like, oh, shut up. Like, I like Patrick Stewart and all, you know, but we're in the UK. So they were like, woo, woo. Don't act like you ain't never seen his bald ass before. Like, he's literally British. Go see him if you really want to. And then John Krasinski came on. And I feel like I was supposed to be excited by that. But I haven't seen that show. Or I did watch that show that he's famous for, but I don't think it's funny. So I was like, oh, okay. And then I didn't even realize it was him until like after the movie. And people were talking about it. And I was like, oh, that's that guy? Oh, Emily Blunt's husband. Okay, good for him. Good to see him bringing in a check. Like, keep a job, King. I like to see a man working.
Did you see where Elizabeth Olsen was shown a picture of him? She was like taking a polygraph test for Vanity Fair or something.
Did she do the Kiki Palmer?
Yeah, I guess.
I hope I don't sound ridiculous.
But they show her a picture of John Krasinski. She's like, what do you think of this guy? And she's like, I haven't met him. I don't know who that is.
Mariah Carey.
I've met his wife. She's great, but I don't know that man. It was really funny. He was you did a movie together. She was like, yeah, I've never met him.
I was thinking about that too. Like, working for Marvel movies has to be just horrendous, right? Because you don't even know what you're doing half the time. The actors don't. So I was like, maybe her like contract expired, so she died at the end because she doesn't want to do another movie. Because I don't know if I would want to, except for the
they have fake scripts and decoys, and then they're like, you can't say this. Like, first of all, it's a movie and nobody cares. Also, I don't watch movie trailers either. I know that got talked about earlier. So the only thing I saw was like that little second of Patrick Stewart talking, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess he's in the movie. But then he came on and people were cheering. I was like, shut up. And then our friend was literally elbowing me, but she was laughing. Also, Andrew said that I had a reaction when I saw Benedict Cumberbatch's titties, and the reaction was revulsion. I wasn't expecting that. And he slid into his body and then he like leapt up like, I don't want to see your heaving bosoms. Ew, nasty. It was some romance novel shit. Like, excuse me, Fabio, pack it away.
So that kind of reminds me of the dream thing. I really like that they say dreams are part of the multiverse, that every dream you have is completely true somewhere. I just thought that was a fun concept, but it led to like my third favorite line in the entire movie, where the Sinister Strange says, remember that dream, like you're falling, like you've been pushed off a tall building? That was probably me. That's probably my third favorite line in this whole movie.
It's interesting that you brought up the Sinister Strange, because as you might have guessed from this pattern of speech, I'm a big hater. And my biggest hate thing was that alternate Wanda and alternate Strange were not played by different actors. I kind of just didn't want to see the same people in different clothes. I was like, okay, we're going to mix it up. Like, I was like, Oh, and then because I only really respond well to men I find attractive. So I was really hoping that it was going to be like, okay, now I can't think of anybody hot. I'm only thinking about the doctor from Star Trek Deep Space Nine because I think he's really hot and I'm just focused on him right now. So I was like, oh, we're going to see like alternate strange. And it was just Benedict Cumberbatch in a bad wig. All the wigs, all the styling in this movie, whoever did the styling, they need to go to jail, prison.
The wigs were not
hard
great.
Labor. Hard labor, they especially were, that first Dr. Strange, wigs. The slide into his heaving bosoms because he had a ponytail. And I was like, the only good wig in the MCU is Tessa Thompson's $10,000 wig from Thor. That's the only good one. Everybody else who does these lace fronts, and knowing that they film a lot of these movies in Atlanta, I'm like, jail, because you're getting over.
Side note on that, because it made me think of like the multiverse. I think the multiverse, like visually, was like one of the best moments in the entire movies. Like it looked so good.
Oh, that's where they fall through like 20 universes in a row.
No, just whenever they're in there, like whenever they're going for the Book of Ashanti and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I loved
it. Yeah, that's cool.
I think the visuals there were perfect. And yeah, whenever they're going through the 20 different universes, I was like, I would have thrown up 100 times over now, by now.
I love when he says, were we paint in one of those? And she goes, yeah, don't get stuck there. It's really hard to eat. That was just a fun little moment to me.
No, did anybody else know that Bruce Campbell was famous? Because I have a bad habit of knowing people from like another thing and not knowing that they're like really famous. Because like before I saw Star Wars, which was only a couple years ago, I knew who Mark Hamill was very specifically. I knew who Carrie Fisher was very specifically. I knew Harrison Ford from literally everything that he's in that's not a franchise. But I knew he was in Star Wars, him and Billy Dee Williams. That was it. I did not know that Bruce Campbell was ridiculously famous until maybe 2 years ago because I don't enjoy horror content. And I knew him as Autolycus from Xena Warrior Princess and Hercules the Legendary Journeys. And I had no idea that he had any level of like fame or being well known outside of that. And then when people were freaking out because he was in this movie, I was like, okay, well, the Pizza Papa's getting some cheers. Okay. Go Pizza Papa.
Pizza Papa. I want a Pizza Papa Funko Pop.
Absolutely would not. I don't like it when people, the side characters become like a big deal. I don't want to hear about people's glove shittos or their little blorbos from whatever show they're into.
You don't like Ice Cream Machine Guy from Star Wars Episode 5?
That's a Black King right there. I gotta support him. Audio people can't see this, but I just put my fist up. And let me put my beret on. Hold on, because I got my shit right here. They hate on you in Europe when you wear a beret. They say, ooh, you look like a tourist. Okay, and I am.
I got to tell you guys something that happened to me after seeing the movie. I saw it the first time with some coworkers. The second time, I saw it with my dad. And after I saw it with my dad, I was talking to him about, yeah, the Illuminati, like, they're famous for making bad decisions. They, like, you know, and I'm pretty sure launching Hulk into space was one of theirs. And I'm like, yeah, that was a bad idea. Yeah. They do bad stuff. They're arrogant and they do terrible things. The Illuminati sucks. And we were at Target and the checkout lady was, I guess, a conspiracy theorist. It was like, oh yeah, the Illuminati, they're terrible. It's how it's always going to be. There's always going to be those rich elites trying to have all the money and rule the world. And she was like,
oh, you know, Andrew's a flat earther.
Andrew is not a flat earther. Don't listen to this dumb bitch. Flat Earth is like one of my favorite conspiracies, though. I love conspiracy theories, but
my favorite conspiracy theory is birds aren't real.
Mine is that the moon's fake.
The bourgeoisie.
But yeah, encountering this woman just ranting about the Illuminati while we were trying to check out, I was like, just smile and nod. I didn't have the heart to tell her I'm not talking about that Illuminati.
To be honest, that could have made the movie better. Like, imagine like Madonna and Beyonce just sitting there on the throne trying to tell them what to do.
I would have gone for it. I would have had Beyonce dressed like the Black Panther, and I would have had her deactivate the helmet and have it fade, and it just be Beyonce and be sitting there like, yeah.
But she didn't have to talk though. That would have been really cool.
Not too much. I'm not gonna talk about Beyonce acting ability. Not too much though.
I guess same from Madonna on that one, but
not too much. Like, come on. But No, speaking of conspiracy theories, what conspiracy theories do you think exist in the MCU? Because mine is specifically from Black Panther. I bet you there is a huge Wakanda conspiracy theory about Killmonger. And like, I bet you people think that Thor is fake. I don't know why I feel like there are Thor deniers in the MCU, but I bet anything that there are. They're like, there's no way. First of all, he's not a god. He sounds like he's from Australia. Let's start there. Yeah. There's only one god. Let's start there. Like, you know. I already heard it in the horrible Avengers movies.
That does bring up the really interesting question of what's happening to religion in the MCU. Because the Thor thing, it's like, okay, yeah, he's an alien. Sure. If you believe that he's a real being, he's an alien that is super advanced, so we perceive it as magic. Okay, that's fine.
Jake Gyllenhaal has told us that this can be fake.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now we've got someone who's undeniable proof that some superheroes are literally just bullshit. And then you've got giant Arishem sky god thing pops up in the sky. It's like, what are you people thinking now? And with
New York was an inside job. Why did I say that?
they're gonna think that. And my favorite is that, so I think that the MCU is now divided into two groups. You've either got hardcore conspiracy theories, none of this is real, it's all a psyop, it's all the government trying to mess with us. And then there's the other side that has become so incredibly jaded that they just can't be bothered anymore, which I think I brought up in one of my Moon Knight episodes when they saw the sky turning backwards in Moon Knight, that they've got to all just be thinking all over the world, like, oh, shit, okay, am I dust? Am I dust? No.
It's today the day. Right,
I don't care. I think that's where we're at.
That's where I would be at, because it started off with just like the Hulk smashing around New York City, but now we have giant sky monsters. We have fucking Thanos.
Like, you don't know. Lip deniers.
I would be a lip denier. I'd be like, no, that didn't happen. They're back. Look
they,
at this.
They
like,
were what? Kidnapped. All those people were kidnapped by the government for 5 years.
Like, no, I got lips. Andrew would start a podcast. Like, he would talk about how I specifically got kidnapped by the government. He was gonna be like, free my bitch, Chris. She is gone, kidnapped. I know America has something to do with this. But he would also, it wouldn't be real. He would be doing it to get money. I feel like this movie was not very good. It featured substandard Doctor Strange, who wasn't doing enough for me. Like, other New Yorkers in the MCU, they don't be doing enough for me, because I'm like, you know, step it up. I want to see, like, whenever I see depictions of people from Texas on screen and they don't act a fool, I'm always legitimately shocked, because even the calmest Texan is one of the rowdiest people I've ever met. Everybody that I've met from New York has been so unhinged. So I'm like, either it's just all of y'all, or I meet all of the nutcases. So you're not doing enough for me, Strange. And then, you know, obviously the Robophile, who also, you know, we never really get clarification on that whole Nazi thing. Because in WandaVision, they bring it up when Agatha, my girl, you know, Agatha All Along, who I really was just in it for the song and the looks. Captain Han always serves looks. She was like, so you joined a terror organization for freedom? And then I was like, good question. She's like, it seemed like a good idea. And I was like, well, it seemed like a good idea when I decided to dye my own hair, but that was a bad choice, ma'am. You can't just say that and then never return to. We never got any clarification on that. I feel like they realized, like, after they did that in the MCU, they're like, oh, we came on really, really strong with this, so we got to try and back it up, so we'll just never mention it again.
The whoops, we accidentally made one of our main characters a Nazi trope.
Like with Captain Carter. Yeah, like with Peggy and with the Agent Carter show. I didn't watch it because I like Peggy. I watched it because I've had a crush on Chad Michael Murray for like 20 years. And the SSR didn't employ colored people. So, you know, the fact that he was a misogynist, I really didn't see what it had to do with me. They established in Captain America, the Winter Soldier, right? And then in different parts of the MCU that Agent Carter was foundational to like the founding of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? And then they went on to, you know, Operation Paperclip employ some Nazis. So I was like, so you employ Nazis after fighting? I was like, so does that mean that Miss Peggy herself has a little bit of a, like, is, was the Nazi thing, how was that not a barrier for you? You just that's what we do, man. You know, so we got a few Nazis. I would prefer for there to be no Nazis. I don't want there to be any confusion about who is or who isn't a Nazi, who supports Nazis. That's all I have to say.
So no more Nazis in the MCU is what you are expecting from the future. So I guess any more final thoughts on from Jordan and Jay?
I love the movie.
You know what? I want to join the happy side now. I'm going to agree with both of them. Sorry,
okay,
Christian.
Okay, well, I'll be by myself. And let me further that negativity by saying none of the Avengers have ever been friends. That's all I have to say.
Great. Then we'll move on to our next segment.
All right, so it is time for our part of the podcast, the SJW Comic Book Club. And with us, well, first of all, we have me, Monte.
Me, Veronica.
And me, Melissa.
And with us, we have Chris and Blue.
Blue.
You guys don't need to, you've both talked already, so you don't need to introduce yourselves. I don't need to wait for you to do that.
No, but my joke was that it sounded like a caveman thing.
Oh, I kind of thought you were doing like a Pokemon thing.
that would be like, blue.
Adorable.
So for our segment, we are going to focus mostly on the structure of this movie. So starting off with the story setup and the pacing, what were you all's thoughts?
So I know I was in the optimistic part of this whole situation at the beginning, but I am large and I contain multitudes, and I have some things to say about the pacing. In general, it's not so much that it affected my enjoyment of the movie while I was watching it, but when I went to post enjoy it and like think about the themes and stuff, I kind of noticed a trend in MCU movies, and it reminded me of a conversation Monte and I have been having for weeks about the fittingness of format for some MCU properties. And I realized, I think some MCU movies, though I like when they're fun and quippy, are trying to do too much in one movie. And it feels like Infinity War and Endgame, where it's like point, 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 and we never get to hang out and have a thoughtful scene that I can actually think about after the movie.
Yeah, this movie absolutely did too much. And with the caveat that I did mostly enjoy the movie, I thought it was fine. It did do entirely too much. That character, Christine Palmer, completely unnecessary character. We did not need her. Anything that happened with her character could have happened with America and it would have been better.
I was going to say, I forgot to mention it earlier because we talked about Wanda for so long, but I didn't see the need for Christine to be in the movie nearly as much. Like when she popped up as scientist Christine, I expected that to be like a 5-minute situation. She acts unhinged. Then she goes, oh, shit's going down. And then she decides to release America and then she would be done. And it's like, no, they kept her around for the rest of the fucking movie.
Yeah, she was just there. Confusing the themes, making Doctor Strange's character development completely muddled and
why did she have to tell him how to use the demons?
Who can fucking say?
I, for once, have something positive to say. I think if it had been executed better, yes, that could have been the best and most emotionally compelling parts of the movie. Because I've seen the trailer for... uncharacteristically, I watched the trailer for this movie called Everything Everywhere All at Once, which comes to Prime like next week. And so much of it had to do with, it's Michelle, yo, I'm obsessed with her. But so much of it had to do with the ideas of happiness. And like, so she goes through the multiverse and she's like, her and her daughter both are both looking for a world where they're both happy. And there's a question that's posed to Strange several times throughout the movie where they're like, are you happy here? Are you happy with the world that you're doing? I believe that it's up to us ultimately to create our own happiness. And I feel like he was able to get something out of those conversations with the alternate Christine, even though that's not the one he personally is in love with, because they both exist in a world where what they ultimately wanted, like through romance, is not possible for the two of them as a couple. And so even when they start to soften towards each other, where she's like, man, I wish I could go to your universe. And she's like, it's not possible, but it is something that they wanted. Like,
yeah,
I feel like if that had been executed better, amazing.
basically, Melissa, I want you to get your opinions on the pacing too. But what spawned Monte and I to have these conversations is people complaining online that the Marvel miniseries that have been coming out should be like longer ongoing series. And then we talk about, well, you write the story to fit the format you have. I think everything that was in Doctor Strange was valuable, but not a lot of it did not have the time to be executed well. Like if this was a miniseries, a 6-episode miniseries, I agree 100%. That was, I think, all the themes that Christine brought up were valuable to Doctor Strange's character. But like you said, they just don't execute well because there's no time.
They conflicted with the other ones, this was my problem. Like it just wasn't consistent and it made the movie about too much. And I'm like, why are you bringing in this character that's not, you have characters to work with, just work with those.
But to be fair, everything else was not good. And Rachel McAdams was giving everything.
Honestly, I haven't forgiven Dr. Strange for showing up at his ex's wedding and talking about the relationship to her face. I was like, I'm over this.
I know that's definitely somewhat.
She did invite him.
That's some scumbag energy. Coming from our resident scumbag hero. There's something else that I was sort of baffled by that was an insane missed opportunity. So everything about that, okay, I have not seen any confirmation or denial, but it was presented to me as though the quote-unquote evil Strange that we saw was supposed to be Strange Supreme, who appeared in episode 4 of What If? And the reason I believe that to be the case isn't just the fact that, like, you know, he used the Darkhold. He's obviously into some demonic shit. He's got the third eye from, like, his Chimera form. He's got, but, like, the world that he's inhabiting is the world that suffered the incursion that his split timeline self inhabited when Ancient One split him into two. So his universe has been completely erased now, right? So it makes sense that after the finale of What If, now he's looking after Ultron and Arnim Zola for some reason, that he has to, it's like, well, he's got to go somewhere. Oh yeah, there was another world for you made. I mean, it's kind of fucked up. There's all this ink floating in the air and the buildings are like half destroyed, but there you go. That's where you can live. So I assumed that was the same one, and all this talk of like, are you happy? Oh, me and Christine couldn't be together in this universe. Well, me and Strange couldn't be together in this universe. Why did no one ever bring up the fact like, hey, I'm actually Dr. Strange from a universe where me and Christine were together. And it was the worst thing that ever happened.
Time to get into all that.
So as far as the themes of the movie, with the presentation of the themes, for me, the theme that I thought was the most interesting was that this Doctor Strange is different from the other ones. And like this multiverse is the 616. If you want, I don't know why they called it the 616.
It's because, categorically not. It's the MCU.
Yes, the 616 already exists. And the MCU already has a designation within the multiverse. I don't understand why they didn't use that. And I don't understand why. So, okay, Rachel McAdams' character, she says, we discovered that there's multiverses. We call this one ours is the 838. And I'm like, wouldn't you call your own multiverse one? Wouldn't you start with one?
Well, okay, so I have a hand wavy kind of thing, if I can. So if I can get into some metaphysical, theoretical astrophysics for a second. There is a concept above a multiverse called a macroverse. And I would think that what they're trying to present here is that there's multiple different multiverses, and the MCU should sort of be renamed to the MCM at this point. It would be the cinematic multiverse versus the comic multiverse. And the reason I say this is because the idea of a multiverse in itself, if you think of it as it is every conceivable universe mashed together, then it really doesn't make sense for when any other property does a multiversal crossover to not include everything ever. Like, there's a movie called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Forever, where they incorporate the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles multiverse, and every universe has a version of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but I never see it like Iron Man or anything. And I would have to say it's because multiverses themselves can be categorized and separated.
That's fair. I feel like that's doing so. Chris, was it you on Twitter who was talking to me about Christomancy?
Yes.
Yeah. If you want a good treatment of it there.
The Christomancy Chronicles, they have it handled.
Yeah. It's like, if you have any contact between the universes, you can establish a numbering system that everyone agrees on. But I love multiverse stuff usually. So I was so annoyed with the 616 in this. I was like, why can't you just incorporate? It would feel so, like, I'd feel so viscerally satisfied if they gave it its correct designation.
It wasn't that it took anything away from the movie, I don't think, or anything like that. It just, it was just one of those things where I was like, well, that, okay, fine.
I will say on the one thing, sorry.
I would say I will say people cheered at 616 in the theater.
I didn't.
I did in ours. I poked my sister and said, it's not 616.
I hate seeing British people happy. When they were cheering in ours, I was like, shut up.
Like, they don't deserve it.
Monte and Chris are so similar. When I listen to you guys, I did because we're black.
All right. So what was the question?
Structure.
Which theme stuck out to you the most? And if relevant, how do you think it could have been brought out a little bit better? Because I think we all would agree that this movie tried to do too much. Right.
Yeah. You know what's something that I wish that they actually focused on a little bit more? I thought there was a huge thematic missed opportunity when it comes to America and the fact that, I don't know if any of you peeped this, but the movie strongly indicates that she's linked to the Book of Vishanti, because for the second and a half that we see the book open before it burns away, the one thing that I saw in the book was the big star symbol. And it makes sense that where the Darkhold maintains its existence by splitting it up into all these copies of the books across the multiverse, and when you destroy the original copy, quote unquote, it destroyed all of the like multiversal clones. The opposite end of the spectrum was that the Book of Vishanti existed singularly within the space between the multiverse, and she was an individual entity in the multiverse as far as she was aware. So, and she glowed the same as the book. And so I thought that there could have been a theme about individuality, about not having to let, because like, one of my favorite multiversal themes I've ever seen occurred in Crisis on Two Earths, the Justice League animated movie, where Owlman becomes nihilistic because he feels that no choice that he makes matters if there is always a multiversal duplicate of himself who makes the opposite choice. Mm-hmm. He will always cover all bases. He will always do all things. And as a result, no choice truly has weight. But they could have done like the opposite thing, where it could have been like, rather than worrying about the way things could have been, rather than worrying about the relationship Dr. Strange could have had with Christine, America is sort of proof positive that you can just live your life individually. Don't worry about the multiverse. Be your own individual being. And they didn't do that.
Yes. This is what I'm saying. Like, there was so much missed opportunity with America Chavez, and Rachel McAdams notwithstanding, Christine Palmer, the first relationship that we see Doctor Strange have in this movie, the very first fucking one, is with America Chavez. But then that relationship gets completely sidelined so that we can go down this bunny trail with Christine. And it's like, I think that would have been fine in a separate movie. This movie should have been about America and Doctor Strange. That's how it started out. That's what I was promised. And it didn't happen. Like, until the very end, and the weird winking and the...
Yes. So, like, come on, man. So that was so intriguing to me and so sidelined, like all that magic stuff. And honestly, Blue, it sounds like you should read the Chronicles of Christomancy, if that's what you're talking about. It's got soft world building, which I'm a fan of soft world building, but I was so intrigued by that Book of Ashanti thing in the in-between space. And yeah, just totally out the window.
Did y'all hear the right name too? Because I didn't hear the right name, and I thought it was the Book of like Ashanti.
I thought
Like, I read that on Twitter. I was like, Book of Vishanti? Where was this book?
Yeah.
I may have even just said Ashanti because that's what I, well, even though I've read it, my heart can't take
never,
no more.
They never wrote it out or anything. And it's like, it, when you have an F at the end of one word, it sounds like a V at the beginning of another. And
yeah. I was so excited about all the other magic stuff. I talked about it at the top of the thing, and that was so intriguing to me, and it's just not there. I'm so sad.
So what was your favorite theme?
So I don't think I had one.
Woman of taste.
I truly, like I said before, I really like America Chavez, and if she's gonna save everyone's ass at the end, I just kind of, you know, I really wanted it to be kind of basically tied into sort of what you were saying, Monte, about giving the whole Rachel McAdams thing. If we had, you know, kind of taken her out and then given America more, I don't know, like trying out her powers, like maybe one time at least before the ending, where she actually tried. Like, I just feel like she just...
Things happened to her. She wasn't doing things.
She was
literally in a cage for a whole segment.
Yeah. We see her being tortured a lot, and I just was not super into it. And I really, really wanted to like her character. And I just feel like it fell flat for me. And then it was like the solution to the whole movie. So if they had made that better, I would have liked it better.
I think the third act was elevated for me based solely on the fact that it was basically, what if we made a Meatloaf album cover as the third act of a movie?
Yeah. Aesthetically, I was enjoying it.
Yeah, but thematically, I do agree that it had weak points that definitely should have been tuned up.
Chris, how about you? What was your favorite or most disappointing thing?
Quote unquote.
Honestly, like, okay. So I watched Doctor Strange. I've still only seen like 45 minutes of the first movie, and I watched it in the 2 hours before I had to go to class. And then we went right from class to the movie theater. So I only saw like 40 minutes of it. So honestly, I was just kind of, I just hated it. Not because I didn't understand it, just because it was boring.
Just anti-vibing.
it was the opposite of vibes. I was watching this movie, like, I paid money to see. Well, actually, one of our listeners paid for us to watch the movie, which was cool.
Oh,
but yeah, I was like, this has too many themes. But also with every single thing that they introduced, it's not so much that I think they could have done less in the movie and it would have been more cohesive and made more sense, or that it should have been expanded upon. I feel like with what they had, if perhaps there was a different script and not Sam Raimi's directorial style, they could have done all of those things well, but not with what they had. It didn't do enough for me with what they had. I feel like they expected people to have a certain level of, I care about this, that I didn't have. And also to have a certain level of, I understand this, which I did have because I've read a lot of comic books, but not because I care. And I personally just think my favorite thing in the movie was Rachel McAdams, honestly. So she could have done, they could have done more with that. It just didn't do enough.
Do you think that one of the main themes being Doctor Strange being happy, and since Benedict Cumberbatch is British, you don't want him to be happy? So like underlying
prejudice. He's British and he hates autistic people. So I actively want him to suffer.
It was like an undercurrent subconscious.
Maybe with that, you unlock the secrets of the multiverse. The more that you talk, it just started to seem rational. It was like, like when one of my friends told me, maybe the reason, this was in like 2010. She was like, maybe the reason why you don't like the Scarlet Witch is because she is in love with that robot man. And I was like, oh my God.
I was going to say, I think your third so eye just opened. Sense.
Yeah.
I can see it.
It opened about 10 minutes ago.
Shut up. Don't put it out.
Oh, speaking of that, I think that was disgusting.
I think they were trying to make it look like a realistic eye. It was the worst CGI I've ever seen since Scorpion King.
It was pretty bad CGI. Disgusting. And like So when I saw the movie, I was in a mostly empty theater. There were like two other people in there maybe. And so I was able to like laugh and like make noises without feeling like I'm they were in my space. So like, if the movie got ruined for them, that's their fault. And at the first part, when evil Dr. Strange's third eye opened, I laughed uproariously because it was the... It was so dumb.
It was so bad. I'm one of quote unquote those black people in movies, so I have a loud reaction to everything. Like, even I have a loud laugh in general. So I'm sitting there, dead silence. He opens that eye. I say, starts laughing, and I'm like, and my friend is, well, it was Andrew, and then our friends. And so I'm literally, they're literally like, why are you doing this? I'm not trying to, but y'all started that shit. He opened another eye.
It has to be said.
Yeah, I don't see how you can see that and not laugh. Like, so it was funny.
That third eye thing does make me bring up a point that I hope what they do in the next installment with this character. Okay, if that was Strange Supreme or some sort of equivalent, he 110% should not have ever lost against a normal Doctor Strange. So I am choosing to believe that him being defeated and impaled was his way of like possessing our main Doctor Strange, to be like, hey, this is my way of getting out of this fucking universe. And so when Doctor Strange's like gross CGI third eye opens, CGI, if you will. shut up. Okay, so it's like, I want that to be like, he's getting possessed by the spirit of the fucked up evil Doctor Strange. And I hope they do literally anything with that other than just being like, nah, it's fine. But unfortunately, if I do have to make one criticism of the MCU, I think they tend to go, nah, it's fine, way too often.
Yes.
Wanda's a Nazi. Nah, it's fine.
No, she's not actually. She that's what they do. No, but not
really. She's not a Nazi guy. You know she's not a Nazi. Wanda.
You know Wanda. You know it's your girl.
That kind of goes into my favorite theme, to kind of cap it off with somewhat optimism. My favorite theme in something is usually the most realized theme, because it was done the best. And I don't know a goddamn thing about Doctor Strange. This you must know. I have read him as side character in like two comics that we've read for the podcast. But it seemed to be really well characterized in this comic with the Are You Happy thing and the Darkhold book, like, and the way he's different from other Doctor Stranges, like pushing the limits continuously and going beyond a point of no return, but still being a hero, but possibly going down a path where something bad will happen. Everyone questioning whether he's going to bring about the end of their universe or whatever. I found that really intriguing because it felt, probably they won't do it, but it felt like something they could not walk back. Like, they were not as much hedging their bets on this hero is good. He is fully good. He will remain good, even though he makes mistakes. It felt like he could be a flawed character who, you know, goes beyond the limits and does stuff that's bad and maybe remains a hero, but is kind of anti-heroic in that way.
Yeah, this movie did not hedge much of anything, which I liked. I did appreciate that. Good job, movie.
They did take a stance, however controversial.
So that's the end of our segment. And now, let's wrap this shit up.
So we've reached the end of the crossover, and it's time for our final thoughts. My closing remarks on Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. I thought it was an awesome movie. I liked it more the second time than I did the first. Great music, great performances, some fun cameos, an unexpected amount of brutality, and yeah, I'm still into the MCU. This hasn't changed anything. Those are my thoughts.
I was a good fan of it. Do I think it is the best MCU movie? No, I don't even think I would put it in my top five or possibly even 10, but I do still give it like a solid 8 out of 10. I think there was potential that was missed out on. I will never like Benedict Cumberbatch and his stupid fucking face. So the least amount of money I can give to him is always what I shoot for. But overall, I still thought it was a cool movie. It didn't recapture or surpass the level of excitement I got from No Way Home. But you know what? I didn't really need it to. I feel like a lot of people disappointed themselves by building it up to be the biggest thing ever since sliced bread in their brain. And it didn't need to be that. It's just a movie, guys. So I liked it. Jay?
I really liked the movie. It did get very dark, and I thought that was cool because you don't really see that too often in Marvel movies. I wouldn't say it's the best, but definitely not in the worst.
I would say that I am upset that I handled a transaction that paid money for people to go see this movie. I was right when I never watched Doctor Strange, and I will continue to be right not ever watching this again. If I ever want to see Socio Gomez again, I'll probably just watch The Babysitter's Club. But even I am not inclined to do that after watching Multiverse of Madness. The only person who I do not think less of is Rachel McAdams, a time-traveling multiverse queen. She has experience with this, which is why she was the least disappointing person. And I can't believe people are going hard for the pizza papa.
Okay, I think this movie was very strongly okay. It was like some parts of it were really good, some parts were very bad, but it was just so moderately okay overall. Yeah, I mean, if I ever get drunk and want to waste 2.5 hours of my life, this is not a bad one to watch.
No, you know you're just gonna watch Madonna like you always do. Don't even lie.
Or that. I would rather watch that fucking Illuminati again than this. But that's my final thoughts.
I would definitely agree. I think similarly, I found this movie to be strongly okay. I had a good time while watching it. The things that I didn't like, I didn't dislike them so much that they made me angry. I think the only thing in this movie that really made me angry was the way that America was treated.
I would agree on a lot of points. For me, as my friends know, I have largely given up on the video medium. I don't watch a lot of TV or a lot of movies. So when I do, all I really want from it is a fun experience, visually, cinematographically, blah, blah, blah. So I had fun sitting and watching this movie, especially with the fight sequences. And for me, it's worth watching for that. Might even watch it again. But yeah, very disappointing on some of the thematic elements, I think, just because they crammed too much into it. But if you like cinema, this was the first movie I've seen in a theater for a long, long time. And that was very gratifying to me. So
there were parts I did individually, if you pull them out, I did enjoy about the movie. I did appreciate how silly it was. And there were, you know, really cool scenes. I think at one point we mentioned like a music fight scene. I liked that. There were some, you know, very cool elements of this movie because it's a Disney movie and they have a buttload of money. So something's bound to be cool, I'm sure. But
at least one thing.
But yeah, overall, I wasn't super into it. It just, I guess, wasn't for me.
So this has been the launch of the Hall of Pods podcast network. Thank you so much for listening to this whole thing. If you made it through to this point, you are incredible, and I love you. You've been listening to the SJW Comic Book Club with Monte, Melissa, and Veronica, as well as True Believers, a comic book podcast starring Chris and Andrew, as well as Cape Corner with Blue and Jay, which sometimes has me, and the Fandom Optimists, hosted by yours truly. Thanks again so much for being here. You can follow the Hall of Pods at Hall of Pods on Twitter. You can keep up with all of the affiliated shows, and there might be some bonus content there down the line. Who knows? As we said before earlier in the show, there is a link tree in the description, which will help you find all of the social media accounts of the affiliated podcasts. Does anyone want to add anything to it?
How about we're all excited to work together to bring in you guys subpar content and, that maybe a dozen people will listen to. No, in all seriousness, I think everyone here, for better or for worse, is very passionate about the things that we talk about. We're all big fans of this sort of nerd culture medium, and I think in some way, shape, or form, we all just are people that wanted to talk about this stuff, and we wanted to share our thoughts with others. And so getting to collectively come together and share our thoughts with each other and expand upon it, I think this is a really great undertaking. I'm very excited for what we can do with it in the future.
Definitely. Thank you guys for listening. Check out all these different shows, and we will all see you next time on our respective feeds. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye. Bye.